You are listening to The Obscure Gentleman, a bi-weekly pop culture podcast dedicated to filtering news and pop culture
stuff. And yeah.
Through the internet of the eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's
the
right.
The eyes of Dr. T.J. Uckelberg. Shout out to Great Gatsby.
I am your host, Aaron A. Alvarez, and who might you be?
I'm your other host, Alex Mitchell.
All right. So we're here, and it's still October.
Yeah.
Still spooky month, or spooktacular, as we're calling it.
Yeah.
We have a Patreon, and you should subscribe to this. Wednesdays, it's truncated what we do, so yeah. It's fine. Yeah, so it's October, and today we will be continuing our weekly movie
Screamathon.
If you want to call it that, maybe.
I don't want to. I just made it up.
Yeah, so we're gonna go into a movie. So that's what we got for you.
All right.
And then some Doctor Who, and maybe some stuff in between. Who knows?
Yeah.
It's Anything Goes on Wednesdays.
Yeah.
Antonio, do what you're gonna do. It sounds
I'm sorry. I've been drinking a lot and...
You've been having too much spider cider.
Spider cider.
Because it is October. Like, spooky themed, like, food and drink.
Well, I'm looking...
I don't mean your candy corns or your things that were made spooky.
Yeah.
Like, when they take a normal product...
And make it...
Yeah, where it's like... Here's Intamin's donuts.
Oh, and then here's Intamin's pumpkin spooky...
No, not even pumpkin. Like, it just... They take, like, the chocolate donuts and put spiders and skulls on it, and it's like, like, on the box, and it's like, Halloween edition, and it's like, it's still a chocolate donut.
You know, we do get, like, certain months where nothing happens, but it seems like Halloween and Christmas, and you get all these themed food items, you know.
I like when they put effort into it, at least, like, Little Debbie will make treats that are shaped like Christmas trees.
Well, Little Debbie, I think, is underrated in general. I know a lot of people that have never heard of Little Debbie, and I think that they're doing themselves a great
disservice. I'm not talking about the products where it's like they put effort and actually like they'll shape them like pumpkins or Christmas trees.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like that, it's like okay, like you obviously have to make new machines to do that shit.
Yeah,
I'm talking about like the simply taking an existing product. And giving it a box with just,
like, pumpkins on it.
Yeah, it's like, it's Halloween edition.
Well, you were saying, like, Edamins, though.
Yeah.
I noticed they have pumpkin spice ones with the pumpkin box.
Oh, well, see, that's...
And fine, whatever. They also have... And those were donut holes.
Yeah.
They also have regular donut holes still in the spooky pumpkin box.
I don't know, it's something that's always been, like, it's kind of bothered me. I don't know, it's like a pet peeve of mine.
So you're saying when Halloween rolls around, you'll pick up, like, Count Chocula over...
That's different, because those cereals are Halloween themed.
Yeah, that and, you know, Boo Berry and Frankenberry.
It's like...
What's the other one?
Fruit Brute and Yummy Mummy.
Fruit Brute, yes.
Yeah. No, like, Boo Berry I'm down with, Frankenberry I'm down with, Count Chocula's my least favorite of the...
I'm not a big Frankenberry fan.
No. I'm not a big chocolate cereal fan.
Okay.
Because chocolate cereal doesn't taste like chocolate to me.
No.
It doesn't even taste like chocolate milk. Like, your milk just tastes like... It's hard to explain.
It's sugary milk.
I'm fine with, like, when things are branded like that, because the product's specifically made for that. But, yeah, when you have, like...
What do you consider, like when Reese's does, like, the pumpkin-shaped things? Because all they had to do was just add more.
But this thing is...
It doesn't really look like a pumpkin, though.
Look like a pumpkin.
I don't think it looks...
Not an accurate pumpkin, but it looks like a pumpkin. The thing is, they have to make new machines for that. They have to still stamp these. Like, there's a process, and, like, someone is designing these things.
Give me other examples of times when you hate, like, the product for just simply... You know, giving you just a package change and that's it.
Well, no, you could say that with pretty much anything that comes out during Halloween. Pretzels fucking do that. they'll release in like this. I believe it's rolled gold in an orange mini bag with
it's like a pumpkin.
And
shape, right?
There's pumpkins on them, pumpkins and bats, and it's like, why don't you make your pretzels bat shaped or pumpkin shaped? There is another company that does do that, though.
You know, making a pretzel pumpkin shape wouldn't really be that difficult.
No, because there's another company that does that with their mini pretzels.
Oh, wow.
And, like, see, that's cool.
I think Roll Gold just wants to cover the Halloween market so you can get... Oh, let me ask you something. If you came up to some person's house over here, you say trick-or-treat, they give you, like a bag of Roll Golds, how are you going to react to that?
Fuck that. It's Halloween. Give me candy.
Right.
I don't want food for Halloween. It's like, the hell?
I don't know. I mean,
that was always a cop out to me when I was little.
Like same thing with like pirates' booty and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, the asses of pirates.
No, you know the popcorn and all that.
Well, getting popcorn sucked to me.
I didn't mind like kettle corn because at least it was sweet.
I didn't like getting pop. Like it's candy. It's Halloween. Halloween's for candy, not popcorn, not pretzels. Not whatever the hell else snacks you're gonna give, like donuts. That's happened before too.
Come on, those are sweet.
The little Hostess donuts.
Those are sweet.
It's not candy. It's not candy. Candy only. Candy or go fuck yourself. That's trick or treat. Go fuck yourself. I don't know, something like that. But yeah, don't give me your fucking Entenmann's donuts with bats on the cover.
Give
saying,
me your Entenmann's donuts though.
But god damn it, put,
I will eat them.
Put effort. Dye your donuts orange for fuck's sake if you're gonna do that.
They look a little. Oh no, that's a pumpkin spice.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, okay, so. I don't like those. They don't taste nice.
No, they don't.
Okay, so I guess we're gonna talk about. Here's our movie talk. So, we are joined by no one. They're
I'm Travis.
Ooh. No, don't do that. Why would you do that? So we're joined by no one. No guests today. Just us.
Just us.
Travis will join us later for our Doctor Who discussion, as always.
He's running late.
But so we watched a 2013 remake by director Jim Mickle called We Are What We Are. It's a remake of a 2010 Mexican horror film of the same name, and a pretty straightforward story. A recently widowed father is raising his two girls and young son, and a lot of like horrible stuff is happening. There seems to be some dead bodies being found in the town because there's like these storms. I mean, the mother died because of the storm and stuff.
Yeah, flooding and a lot of stuff is happening.
And there's like kind of a missing girl and a murder mystery kind of thing going on. The family, though, is a little off. The girls are clearly hiding something, and the father is behind it. But then, so what you find out, and this is the point where we say spoilers.
Yeah.
Obviously.
If you do want to watch this, I would recommend skipping a bit.
Yeah, just, they're
spoilers. When you hear Travis, you can listen again, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. Spoilers.
Spoilers.
That's all I'm gonna say. It's on Netflix, so right now, pause this, go watch it,
come back,
and let us know. No, I mean, we'll let you know what we think.
Yeah,
you'll know what we think after you think what you think. So here we go. Okay, so it turns out that the family are cannibals.
Yeah,
at least it's a tradition going back to like a few hundred years.
Mm-hmm. 1700s.
They're cannibals, and but they're like cannibals in the name of the Lord.
Yeah, and they only do it once a year.
Yeah.
Well, it seems like at least
it seems one season per like every season they do it. Well, not once per season, but like one season a year. So the whole thing is that this girl went missing, and they want to know where the hell she is. It turns out it was the doctor's daughter who went missing, played by Michael Parks of lots of random horror movies, Quentin Tarantino films, Robert Rodriguez movies.
He's going to get tanked tonight.
Kevin Smith is using him a lot now.
He's in Tusk.
Yeah. So, and Red State. So, essentially the father kills people and they eat them in stew, the daughters and the young son. Now, what did we think about it? So,
it had a really nice atmosphere. I actually really liked the atmosphere, just the lighting.
For a small indie film, it was shot very well.
The first 20 minutes were very depressing to me. It was very somber and very quiet.
Yeah, it was a sad movie.
Yeah. That being said, I feel like this movie moves way too fucking slow for me to actually enjoy it. And I hate saying that because I don't want to be the guy who's like, I need explosions and car chases. It's not that. It's just that the amount of buildup and...
Yeah, and
it's like, there's not a lot of payoff for it. Well, for me, there's not a lot of payoff.
See, I did think that there was... I thought there was plenty of payoff. It took us a while to get there.
Yeah.
The last 10 minutes were cathartic as hell. Like, it felt like a release where it's like, oh shit, finally. Like, goddamn, this dude deserves this. But yeah, for the most part, there was a lot of meandering, lots of like...
I think the fact that everyone looks sad and quiet didn't help.
It's not just that. I think it's... The movie's almost trying to, like... Okay, you knew from early on that they were cannibals, kind of, right? You got that idea, right? Watching the movie?
Yeah, it wasn't really...
Like, it didn't seem like a big surprise when you find out that they were eating people.
Yeah.
Because... There were so many clues left that it was just like, okay.
And the backstory that the girl keeps reading her...
Yeah, because there's flashbacks in this movie.
And then it's like, oh, they're gone, but we have food now.
As soon as, like, I saw the girl's hand, the lady's hand under the door.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, they have a person locked up there. They're probably going to eat her.
Yeah.
These people... Okay, that's... The problem that I think the main issue this movie had was it kept... But by leaving so many clues and essentially telling the audience, and also in the trailers, that, yeah, this is a movie about cannibals, hiding it like that was kind of pointless, I thought. It held back the movie where it was like, okay, yeah, they're cannibals, I get it. And then, like, so it makes the reveal when Michael Parks finds out that they're cannibals. And also, here's the other thing. He finds out they're cannibals... After they already revealed that they're gonna murder a lady and eat her as stew.
Yeah.
So his reveals kind of like left the audience like, oh, well, at least he found out. I mean, that it would be interesting if he found that out earlier.
Yeah.
But.
Or if you had him finding out, because they were intercutting that with another scene, weren't they?
Yeah, they were.
And they could have had that be them killing the woman instead of.
But instead they do it like way after when it's like, yeah. there's no surprise anymore. It's like him being surprised isn't enough. But that being said, the acting was good. I had no problems with the acting.
Yeah.
Even for
my only thing was that the dad in the beginning is like very somber and sad, and by the end of the movie he becomes Leonardo DiCaprio's character from Django Unchained.
Well,
he was acting very strange.
The reason is because the disease.
Yeah.
It fucks up your brain.
Yeah.
Like that I understood. Like at first he was sort of in mourning. For the loss of his wife, but then slowly he started going insane from consuming human flesh.
Yeah,
that I was fine with. Yeah, and they wear old fashioned clothes when they consume flesh.
Yeah,
it's like this big like religious tradition thing. But yeah, the acting, even the little boy was pretty good.
Yeah.
There's really no complaints on any parts except the storytelling thing. I really do think the major problem that just does hold the movie back. Is the whole cannibalism thing that they try to keep... They treat it like this. It was a big secret for the viewer. When it was like... You're holding back your entire movie by teasing when it's like, we already know, though.
Yeah.
It's like, every time there was that scene where it's like, huh, see? They're cannibals. But we're not going to tell you, though. It was like, well, no, we know. Just stop
teasing. I didn't see the point of, like, that red herring with, like, the girl... Yeah. Because he stops, right?
Yeah.
He stops and pulls over, and we don't see what happens. So then we're thinking, like, oh, okay, that's the girl underneath in the shed thing.
Yeah.
Okay. But then it turns out later in the movie that after we saw a different woman get killed, that, oh no, she actually just crashed her car and it was stuck in like the flooded lake or whatever.
Yeah.
And I,
yeah,
I mean, I don't know what the point of that was.
It's weird. This, I don't consider this a bad movie.
I don't consider it a bad movie, but at the same time, I didn't enjoy it like it was a good movie.
But that's what it is, for all intents, a good movie.
Yeah, it's not a bad movie. I just didn't enjoy it.
The pacing's not an issue either. It's just, it's this lingering, like, constant tease that they're cannibals when you know that it's kind of almost annoying where it's like, stop teasing us with something we know.
Yeah,
it's like, what are you doing? Like, it's almost like you know what's in your birthday gifts and you've told everyone what's in your birthday gifts, but they're still hiding them from you, saying no, you don't know.
Yeah,
it's like, no, I do know.
And then when you open it, and then it's like, oh, see, we told, and it was like, no, I knew. It's like, nah, are you sure you weren't going the other way just a little
and
bit?
And while the gift is still a good thing, yeah, it's just kind of like okay. But I knew.
Yeah.
And that's why the things I was interested more in this movie were a lot of the character moments for the older daughter.
Yeah.
And her dealing with the fact that she doesn't like this life, and neither does her little sister. One's 14 and the older sister's like...
She's like 18.
Right? Yeah, something like that.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, and then...
Yeah, but you know what? Like, the whole thing with the doctor I thought was more interesting than... the thing with the family.
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe I would have liked that better if it was more from his perspective, because I like seeing that, even though I already knew, yeah, they're cannibals, I like seeing him figure it out.
See, I mean...
Because I thought that was more...
That would be... My own problem is we wouldn't get any focus on the daughters fighting the fact that they don't want to be cannibals.
Yeah, but yeah, that's something that, you know, you would lose, unfortunately.
I
remember reading some review after I finished this movie that said something about the gore delivering. I didn't get a lot of gore.
No, there is not a lot of gore. It's the gore that's used effectively. Like when they're biting him and stuff and they're like tearing his flesh up.
I didn't like that scene.
Really?
No.
I loved that scene.
I didn't like it.
Why?
It felt too much like, oh look, see, they're being cannibals now.
No, that wasn't the point of that scene. The point of that scene was that it was a release for them, where all this pent-up rage of their father every year making them eat humans, making them do this horrible act, it was like...
It just looked silly to me. I couldn't get into it.
Well, I mean, yeah. I see, that was my favorite moment of the movie.
No, I know, and that's fine. I thought my favorite moment for me was the doctor confronting the father.
He was an okay character, but I mean, like,
I don't know. It's just I don't feel strongly about this movie enough for me to say.
No, I don't feel strongly about it either. I feel that I thought it was a really good payoff. That
I didn't think so personally.
It seems like you care more about the doctor than you do about the two.
No, I cared about the girls. It's just I didn't like. For some, I don't know why, I didn't like the way it looked, the way they killed him. There's something about it that it just seemed too cheesy for me.
Really?
Yeah, I couldn't get into it.
I mean, they're ripping his throat out, and
then the other one's just going for like
his arms,
top of his hand, Aaron.
And then his arms, and they're both eating his forearms.
Yeah, it didn't work for me.
That's weird.
Didn't work.
I want to know why though.
It just looked cheesy. I didn't find it convincing that's how they were going to kill him off for some reason. I understand why they went with that, because it was...
Well, what would you have had them do?
I don't know. I just wouldn't have went with
no,
that.
No, what would you... Like, what
I
would,
don't know, Aaron.
No. I'm saying, what would have been a better payoff for you?
I don't know. Seeing him get, like, chopped to bits or something.
Wait, what?
I don't know. Something more cathartic than
that. So you want it more brutal?
Yeah. But that's me, Aaron. That's you know... I don't know. Like, with me... I don't know.
There's, so you'd rather be unrealistic?
In that sense, maybe. I don't know. The realism for me didn't make me feel better in that regard, the way they killed him off.
Wait, what?
The realism, and I'm using quotation marks right now, for how they killed off the dad didn't work for me.
I mean, I thought the scene was brutal enough.
Not for me.
I mean, she bit his throat out.
Yeah, okay, that was cool. See, I was all right with that because I felt that it was like a really violent way to.
Yeah, and then they started feasting on his flesh. But then the other one,
just going for his hand, didn't do anything for me. I don't know why.
They're both feasting on his flesh.
Nah.
Think about that. It's a human.
They've already been feasting on humans. But at this point, the shock to me isn't there anymore.
But
they kill the person and cook.
This is a Siskel and Ebert moment we're having right now.
I suppose it is. But my thing is that, look, they already killed the person and ate her.
Yeah, right? But see, the thing is,
this, as a stew,
the scene wasn't about how they killed or the kill. The scene was about letting go of that, like, that aggression they had inside and just, like, bringing it out, like, just doing the unthinkable that they, like, they don't want to kill innocents. So they're killing their father. Like, that's what the scene's about.
You know what? I feel like I would have been better with that scene if it happened after he killed that one lady, their neighbor.
I think the ending, well, the initial ending is great. I think it was the right amount of violence. I think if you took it too far or you did more, it would defeat the point that they were trying to get across. And the point being that the father had to die for what he did to these young girls. And they also had to show him, this is what it's like to be eaten alive.
Mm-hmm.
If you go any further, it takes away that message, and it's just like, here, audience, here's some schlock.
I wanted some schlock.
This movie is not schlock. This is an independent...
It didn't even feel like a horror movie after a while.
I mean, it felt like a creeping horror. It was like a slow-burning horror movie. About cannibalism, but it was
they eat one person, two, I should say.
Well, over the years they've been eating people.
Yeah, but I don't care about over the years. I want to see. That's the thing.
You wanted it to be schlock.
I did. I wanted something scary.
A cannibal.
I've watched three movies with you guys, with you in particular.
Yes.
None of them have been scary.
I know, and that's the thing though. We're doing contemporary horror, and these movies we're watching place more emphasis on
being boring.
No, you like the Babadook.
Babadook was the only good one.
Look, they place more emphasis on visual appeal, on camera work, on editing, on atmosphere. But I wouldn't say the story on the Babadook is bad, or I wouldn't even say the story. The story on this is actually pretty good, but here's what I will say.
Yeah.
It would have worked better as an episode of an anthology show.
Okay.
If it was maybe 30 to 45 minutes.
44 minutes, yeah.
As a feature, I think there's too much open space. So I will give it that. So would you have liked this movie if it was condensed down?
Yeah.
If it was like an episode of Masters of Horror or something?
Because, like, not to shit on the older girl's storyline. I didn't care about... I understand. No, that was important,
though.
I didn't care about the boy, the guy that she's into and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that was... You kind of didn't need it. I mean, it could have been easy that...
I understand that was... That helped turn her against her dad, though.
Yeah, but, I mean, again, you could have even... You could have chopped that down a bit where it was just like, here's the guy she likes. She likes him. He likes her. And then the father ends up killing him.
And I thought they were going to eat him. Did they actually eat him or what?
No.
So,
but they have to do it
ritually.
Ritualistically.
Yeah, because they drained her blood, the girl's blood.
Yeah, they have to do it a certain way. But I think it would have worked better had it been an episode of like an anthology series as opposed to a movie. While I don't hate this, it is a little too long. But the strange thing is, like, it's only 105 minutes.
It felt like 2 hours.
Yeah,
it felt like 2 hours.
It was a little too long for a concept that's done as a nice short story.
I you know what? I think my biggest problem is that, like, the ritualistic cannibalism didn't spook me enough.
See, well...
Was when they were going down into that cellar thing.
So that was so you wanted more of a cannibal movie where it's like
they don't need to be eating everyone, but it's like to me it's like if you're only doing it once a year, you kill
because you have to,
they kill like 4 or 5 people, right?
This yeah,
movie. They only eat one of them.
Here's what you have to remember about this movie. It's not traditional horror movie cannibalism where it's like traditional horror movie cannibalism is either tribes eating people because that's their food source and they're
They literally kill the person and then rip them up.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. Or it's like something grisly, like backwoods hillbillies eating people.
Well, I went on IMDb after, and a lot of people were saying that they felt that it was trying to be a more modern take on that.
Well,
that the Appalachian kind
of. It's more of a realistic take on a lot of cannibalism that's done in like the Appalachians and stuff like that, yeah. Where it's like.
Well, don't talk about that. I don't want to hear about that.
It's also mixed with a bit of religion, and that's what makes this different from most cannibalism, is this takes like a spiritual look at it, where to them, this is like a pact they have with God going back a few hundred years with their ancestors. And I think it's an interesting spin on cannibalism that isn't really ever done, because it's just always like, it turns out the hillbillies eat people. With this, it was like, they do it because it's like a cultish, like, ritual thing. And they don't do it in like an unclean, gross, grisly way. They do it in a very, as you saw, like, it's just, yeah, you would prefer if it went the schlocky route.
Schlockier. Because, I don't know.
I liked what they were trying to do with it.
Oh, no, don't get me wrong. It's not a bad movie.
Yeah.
It's just not...
You just wanted more guts and blood.
Yeah, I wanted murder, guts, and not fun. I didn't want fun in this movie.
You just wanted...
But I wanted, you know, just... I wanted to be spooked.
I get that. I mean, and after watching It Follows, you want like a splatterganza.
Maybe not...
You want Red Rain everywhere. You want just...
Watch The Evil Dead. Then
you want to be drenched from head to toe, hot, sticky, sweet in blood.
I wouldn't say that. maybe not even that. Maybe it's just again, I need something.
Honestly, yeah, I think its runtime is its worst enemy. It's runtime and the teasing aspect of, they might be cannibals. We don't know yet. It's like, we know. I think those are two biggest enemies. For you, at least, you wanted a lot of gore.
Listen, if I could have at least had, like, a shorter runtime and the teasing cut down drastically...
Would you have accepted the...
Yeah, definitely.
So you would have accepted... Because you feel... Is it that you feel...
I felt there was too much build-up.
Do you feel that
That payoff did not justify the build-up.
So, okay, so for that amount of time, you just need a little bit more gruesomeness.
Yeah.
So, like, had they opened up his stomach or something, you would have liked that more.
Even if they just stabbed him a few times, I would...
I mean, stabbed him in the hand.
Yeah.
But you needed more
for
that amount of build-up. No, I can understand that. Yeah. We don't need it was nice to see the moments of the sister giving her brother food.
Yeah.
Like...
Breaking the rules that the father set and all that.
But... I don't know. I don't hate this movie.
No, neither do I. I don't hate it. I'm just disappointed.
But a part of me does like it.
That's the thing. I would recommend it to, like, my parents, because they're always looking for something.
I think that might explain its ratings, which are kind of all over the place.
Yeah.
There's a lot working for this movie, but then there's a lot that works for this movie that also works against it.
Yeah.
I mean...
Would you watch this again?
I don't think so. Again, it's like one of those anthology horror things where it's like, I watch the episode, then I never return back. Unless it's a really good episode. No, I mean, I probably wouldn't watch it again. But would I recommend it? I probably would, with the pretense of just go with it. Like, don't have, like, these expectations. Because if people look this up, they're going to see the word cannibal somewhere. They're going to, you know?
Yeah.
But, I don't know, would you recommend it?
Yes, but... I don't think I'd watch it, like, with them.
Yeah.
I it's something where it's like, oh, yeah, check it out. You might like it. If you don't, sorry, but...
I
think you might, you know.
I think it's one of those...
I know people that would like this, and I'm not trying to knock... I'm not trying to, you know, throw shade at them or anything like that. I'm just saying, like, you know, I know this would be better for some people than it is for me.
Wide appeal, I think.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, if I were to give it a rating, maybe a... 2.5 to 3.
For the record, I did rate it 3 on Netflix when I was done.
Yeah, 2.5 to 3. Somewhere in there.
It's just that I feel like a 2 isn't is too fucked up. But a 3 feels too generous at the same time.
Yeah, so like somewhere, 2.5 to, somewhere between there. I mean, not bad.
Yeah.
It would be great if some of those things we addressed had been fixed.
So, as it stands, though, it is better than It Follows.
Oh, it certainly is better than It Follows. So, because you know why? It at least has a competent and coherent plot. It has characters that are actually likable.
Oh, yeah.
Characters who have motivations that make complete fucking sense. Its only thing that betrays it is its runtime and the fact that the movie is trying to hide the fact that it's about cannibals.
Yeah.
Even though we know that. Yeah,
so It Follows, you're the loser right now.
So yeah, that's still at the bottom of the list.
Yeah.
So whatever we watch next week will be another contemporary horror film.
Okay.
Hopefully, whatever it is we choose will be
enjoyable. It doesn't need to be schlocky. Listen, this could have easily been great.
Yeah.
And it didn't need to be schlocky. It just, for whatever reason, it didn't click for me.
Yeah.
All right? So, whatever's next, you know, hopefully it's good.
Yeah.
And, you know what? No. I want it to be great.
You want it to be great.
Because The Babadook was pretty good. Yeah. It Follows was not good, in my opinion.
It's
and this was okay.
If you're on Netflix, give it a watch, but don't go in with huge expectations. Watch it for its cinematography, for
its acting.
Nice story.
Yeah.
But whatever we have next week, maybe we'll do something a little more schlocky, something a little more it'll be coming out on the week of Halloween, the next episode.
Yeah.
So I don't know, maybe it'll be a blast, and I'm not sure if the guys will be returning for that episode.
We'll see.
We'll see, but I don't know. We're ending this now, right?
Yep.
Say we're ending.
We're ending this now. On to the next.
All right. So this is our next segment, but few things first, because we're actually recording this a little bit late. We're able to squeeze this in, which is
this topical bit, which is we are officially in October 21st, 2015.
And that day means that Back to the Future 2 is full of shit.
Yeah. as of recording, we still have enough time.
We
have enough time to completely change our fashion. They have enough time to create the hoverboard, the flying car, 15 new Jaws movies, and the self-drying jacket.
And also freeze-dried pizza that can get large
in
a pink little oven thing. So yeah, maybe tomorrow when this is posted,
that'll all be here.
The world as we know it will change completely.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is the day that people have been waiting for.
And,
I
mean, either way, just watch the movie.
Yeah,
it's fun.
Happy Back to the Future 2 Day.
Yeah.
You can next look forward to Running Man Day, because that comes in 2017.
Oh, okay.
So hopefully we have death games by then.
Hopefully.
Alright, so the big news
reveal Monday night.
Yeah, so Monday night, the official theatrical trailer for Star Wars The Force Awakens was released.
Yeah.
And
it was sweet. I mean, it's weird. Because I was watching a stream for like wrestling, and then they can play whatever they want on
there,
so they decided, oh shit, the Star Wars trailer just really, so, you know, the chat's reacting, and it was awesome. And then I watched it again on my own, and it's just bizarre to me, you know, even though I did grow up with the prequels, and it's like, oh cool, there's new Star Wars, it's still weird to me that I'm actually getting new Star Wars.
Yeah.
Which is after...
That's not like a cartoon or something.
Or that's not like something that takes place before the end of Return of... just nuts.
Something that's post-Jedi.
Yeah.
That isn't expanded universe novels or something.
Yeah, and that's cool to me that we're getting this.
It feels like Star Wars is the best way I could sum it up.
It does feel like a new film, too, at the same time.
Well,
like, it doesn't feel like a complete throwback.
What I'm saying, though, is like... It feels like an actual continuation.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like it's just something new with Star Wars slapped onto it.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like because that's something that I was always afraid of when this was first announced, that it was going to it was going to lose that feeling. It wasn't going to feel like they were going to change things a little too much, but it feels like they did change stuff, obviously, but yeah. It's still...
You have to.
You get that same feeling. There's, like, this sense of awe and wonderment.
Yeah, and it's like, I've never been more concerned with seeing, a villain on screen. Yeah,
I mean...
I feel like that's another thing missing from movies is, like, proper bad guys, because these days it's like, oh, we want to... You know, bring them back down. We want to humanize them a bit. It's like there's something wrong with having a bad guy.
Guys now are done in shades of gray, yeah. Or they're done where it's like, well, they were really good the whole time,
yeah, or something like that.
Straight up bad guy is what we're getting here.
Yeah, and there could be more to him that. That's okay if it is, but it's like for the time being, seeing a straight up bad guy right on the screen is cool to me.
We reacted a long time ago on a different podcast
to the original
the teaser.
Yeah,
and the teaser didn't
it did
excite me a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
This solidified all my excitement.
It solidified a lot of people's excitement because people can't buy tickets.
Oh yeah, they can't. Even we couldn't manage that. So.
It's not like it's going to be impossible to see this.
Oh movie. No, it won't be. But like probably
opening night tickets are probably going to be.
And Friday are starting already to be sold out now too.
Yeah, so
Friday into Saturday, so it's going to be very difficult.
It might be a rough weekend for some people.
But the movie, it just.
I feel like this doesn't get mentioned enough. I feel like I always have to say this, because John Williams he actually composes for the trailer, and it was great hearing his music.
Yeah, the music because in the last two Star Wars films, he didn't do the music, did he?
He did.
Wait, did he?
Yeah.
Wow, it sounds kind of like he phoned it in those last two.
Okay, there's a reason for, especially the second one, and because I watched that with my friends last night. I was so angry, like, listening to it, because the story with that was that the second movie was filmed, and he composed the music, and then they chopped it all up and said, oh, hey, like, all that music you made isn't really going to work right now, so we'll just take your Phantom Menace music and then kind of just, work it together. And,
Wow.
So... And then the third one, he says the process with Lucas was a lot different than it used to be.
Okay, so there was...
He said that working with Abrams was very...
So he was more control... They were... basically, he was...
It became a product.
He wasn't allowed to do what he wanted.
Yeah.
Okay, see, no, that's why when, watching this trailer, John Williams sounds like John Williams.
And at the same time, he sounds like he's going into new areas, too.
Yeah, it...
So I'm really excited.
The music trailer was great.
That's my little moment.
Every shot was great.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
it looks like a big movie.
It does.
And I like the Avengers and all that, but those never feel big to me for some reason.
They feel large, but yeah,
this feels like an epic. And
It's something that wows you to a different extent.
Yeah, and
A part of me, was saying to myself at one point, it was just like, almost like, move aside Marvel, it's like Star Wars is back. And that's no grip against Marvel or anything. It's almost like Star Wars is back. It's like, this is the true king.
This is like the original, for me, my original fandom.
Yeah,
This is the first thing I got into, really.
Marvel does have mass appeal. But I think Star Wars eclipses that appeal.
Yeah. It's simple storytelling, good guys, bad guys, and you have fun along the way.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm really looking forward to it. We'll probably go into it more as November comes along.
Mm-hmm.
There's bound to be lots of weird comments, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
There already is. So, yeah, very excited.
I was smiling like a motherfucker.
Oh no, I was smiling.
I looked at my friends because they were there too. They were smiling. It was fun.
I mean,
it was good.
And we got a little hints of what the story is and what the bad guy's up to.
His motivation.
Yeah, he's trying to continue the legacy of Darth Vader. No Luke in the trailer except that one shot of his hand. Yeah. The same shot. So, and there's theories. But
yeah, I'm not buying into them.
No, but Star Wars is back.
Yeah.
Oh boy. So, anyways,
I didn't. And can I just say to you, you even remember me having kind of like sour grapes about this. It's like I don't care. It's like whatever.
But then now you care.
Yeah. And I think it's like, because it's that weird thing I had where it's like I didn't like being a Star Wars fan because I felt like you're lumping me in with all these people that don't really give a shit
about
it.
Yeah, but and now...
It's like, fuck it. I love Star Wars.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah, so anyways, on to the our main topic at hand, I guess, from this little segue we had because, I mean, it had to be addressed.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't want to do this like a week later. That would have just been weird.
Yeah. I feel the hype would have been gone. We would have just been like, oh, yeah, the Star Wars trailer's out. Yeah, it's like we wouldn't care.
Okay, so...
I don't know what voice that was.
This is our Doctor Who portion.
Yeah.
Travis is not joining us this week, sadly. So, the episode this week was The Girl Who Died, starring Maisie Williams. Guest starring Maisie Williams.
Yeah, from Game of Thrones fame as Arya Stark.
Yeah, so, just to start off, it's a pretty simple episode. Another simple
episode.
Very
simple episode.
The Doctor and Clara are in space, taking care of something. They land on Earth, and they're surrounded by Vikings. The Vikings kidnap them, take them to their village. The space Vikings come down to fuck up their shit.
They capture them, because they're essentially...
They kill all the warriors.
Yeah, they're trying to liquefy them and use them for the sky.
Yeah, so they kill all the warriors, and then after that... It's revenge. Like, they're wanting, like, it's a ragtag group of
misfits, kind of thing.
They are Vikings, but they're like, they're people.
It's like,
like farmers.
Yeah, it's like the people the Vikings live with, you know? Like, it's that kind of thing.
Now all these farmers have to rise up and stop this space Viking dude who calls himself Odin.
The doctor has to train them to fight.
Yeah, and there's some cool reveals along the way, so, yeah. So, what are your general thoughts, then?
You know what? I actually... This was way better than it had any right to be.
Did it surprise you? It surprised me.
Yeah. Because I honestly thought... It's like, oh, look, here's Arya Stark.
I thought it was going to be just a simple, like, throwaway episode. And by the way, this is a two-parter. Like,
which also surprised me, because to me it felt done.
Well, it's...
Until the end.
It's done in a clever way where it's still going to be self-contained.
Oh, yeah.
But at the same time, it is a two-parter. But yeah, I went in with not high expectations or low expectations.
No, I just went in thinking, like, okay, whatever.
I was thinking, like, okay, this is just going to be a throwaway episode that, you know, with Arya Stark, whatever.
It's going to be fun, cute, and all
that. Yeah, but it turns out it was a lot more than that.
Oh, yeah.
Especially when you get to the ending. But it was actually a pretty good character piece.
Oh, yeah, very much so. Especially for Capaldi's doctor. I would argue the doctor in general. At least the...
Yeah.
Like, from 9 to
well,
now.
Well, and him and... Like, him and his... It delves more into... And I love when they do this, when they delve into the doctor's relationships with companions from his perspective. From the... Because it's a big point that's made in the episode that eventually one day... Everyone he loves will die,
and they've touched on that before.
Yeah, I love when they touch on that because it gives more.
It's that fucked up reality of being immortal, and essentially what Doctor Who kind of is.
Well, it also gives the Doctor. It makes you realize that he's not just a normal person.
Yeah,
he's a virtually immortal alien who's like lived for thousands of years. It's like. It's these things are hard for him. It's like he has seen everyone he loves die.
Yeah.
So I love when they do that when they make the audience or the viewer step back for a second and go like, oh wow. So yeah, this is kind of a tragic figure, even though he's like great and everything.
Yeah.
It's like aside from that stuff, there it was a fun little tiny adventure. The space Vikings were handled pretty well in their big trash can robot suit things.
They're more like fish monsters, though. It's weird.
Yeah, they have the I forget the name of the.
At first I thought they were the rhino dudes.
You know those fish. They're like eel things that are
the lampreys.
Yeah. Okay. It looked like a lamprey.
Yeah.
Like that. They have those like millions of sharp teeth and stuff. Ugh. Like they're pretty creepy looking, but they have like this stuff to hide it.
Yeah.
So the monsters were done really well. The big focus though was on Arya's character.
We're calling her Arya.
Yeah,
I don't remember it. I'm sorry.
Her character.
You know what? I'm glad it wasn't just a retread of Arya Stark.
No, it's this little girl who Like, and she makes a speech saying, well, she's talking to the doctor, saying, I know that I'm weird, and, like, I know that everyone thinks I'm weird, and it was kind of like, I liked that.
I was worried, though, because it was starting to remind me of Arya a bit too much, because, oh, she's not the normal girl.
But that's the thing, like, Arya is never, like, her character is different where she embraces that shit.
Yeah.
And, like, she's comfortable with who she is.
Yeah.
It seems like this little girl is, like, she's quiet and hides it and stuff, and she's...
And that's why it did feel different to me, though, and that's why I liked it.
And I did enjoy that they did that, and it was a nice moment. And
but she ends up saving the day, actually.
Because of her weirdness, because she likes to make puppets.
Yeah, create stories in her head.
Yeah, so she's a storyteller who makes, like, these puppets and stuff, and she has all these fanciful things in her head.
Yeah.
on top of that, we get her father, who is... He's a pretty cool dad. He's just, like, a cool dad.
Yeah.
The villagers themselves are just hilarious.
Yeah, they're funny characters. And he doesn't even bother learning their names.
So, yeah, you get this awesome training montage scene almost.
Oh, yeah.
Where he's showing them how to fight. The doctor showing them how to fight. Because they've never picked up a sword in their life. And then it automatically cuts to the villagers, like, burning.
Yeah.
So you get some humor here and there. Then you also get this chilling scene with a baby.
Oh, yeah, because he can speak a lot of languages.
Because
babies
it reminded me of Capaldi's first episode when he's here, the dinosaur talk.
Yeah, yeah.
And I love that he does that. And, like, it was, like, sad, but and kind of chilling, but it was also kind of sweet.
Because babies do have, like simple thoughts, but they're real emotions.
Yeah, the whole I'll sing to you mother thing is like, oh, my God. I'm scared, but I'll sing to you.
Yeah.
The main theme in this, though, it seems to be kind of in this series is what I'm picking up. The main thread of this, or theme, is that the Doctor, he wants to change the past. Are you picking up on that?
A little bit, yeah, because the opener especially, I think.
Yeah, well, because he's saying that
And then he did that also with the other guys.
Yeah, too, because... He keeps saying that, you can't change time.
Yeah.
Everything's fixed. But there's this whole... It feels like he's almost trying to find a way to change time, to make outcomes not happen. And he brings that up in the whole, if you do change time, you create a ripple, and that ripple can become a tidal wave.
Yeah.
So that gets us to the end of the episode, where it's initially is that it's thought that the village should just either run away from the bad guys, or
they're going to get harvested, essentially,
or be harvested and wiped out. Because he thinks that if they beat them and they send this war bringing race, because it's a race of warriors, if they send them away, they're going to bring more, and it's going to cause
like an invasion.
Yeah,
yeah.
So that's why the doctor's afraid of doing that. But at the end, he decides again. He's like, you know what,
In a very doctor-like way to me, he solves it through knowledge instead of physical strength.
Yeah,
and eventually it's like, you can't fight us because we're just dancing and having a good time.
At the same time, he hears the baby and he realizes like
I
screw the rules. Like,
I need to protect this.
I have to save these people.
And I think the reason why.
And then
So
then first of all, there's the big fight scene or whatever. Where, and they set up this ingenious trap with a bunch of electric eels.
So rather than training them to fight, he uses their peaceful nature to actually win.
And then they still,
which I thought was awesome.
They stole one of the helmets of
the lamprey monster.
Yeah,
thing.
And Arya's character puts it on, and she projects an image of a dragon.
Yeah.
Over a wooden dragon.
Yeah. Okay. This is why I made that joke to you that it reminded me of the ending to American Tail. You probably don't understand why. Because at the end, they had to use, like, this big, like, monster they created to chase away the cats back to China and all that. It was something that was
it
funny to me.
It confused the hell out of me.
Okay, well, don't worry about it.
And it's so hilarious. What happens, though, is it does scare off the... It scares the hell out of the Odin guy. But then you realize, it's a fake.
It's a wood carving she made.
Yeah,
it was a giant, like, serpent.
But they filmed it, and the doctor threatens to leak it all over the Hollow Net or whatever.
Yeah.
Um,
whatever they have.
Yeah, to let everyone know, like, look at this, and they put Benny Hill music over it. So it's kind of a modern social media way of destroying a bad guy. It's kind of interesting. They're essentially blackmailing him.
Yeah.
And so he doesn't. The doctor makes him go away.
Yeah.
He transports him and he leaves. So then the doctor's like, you know, if a tidal wave happens, it happens. But then we are given an answer to a question that's been haunting everyone since the first episode of Series 8. The doctor realizes why he chose the face he chose.
Yeah.
Because he looks into water and, like, it comes back to him out of nowhere. So, going back to the fires of Pompeii.
Yeah.
We get flashbacks and we see the 10th Doctor and we see Donna crying and saying, you have to save them.
Save someone, please.
Yeah. And, see, in that episode, there was that big thing of, like, you can't change time.
Yeah.
But the Doctor, in that case, decided, I'm going to save someone. So, he saves...
It's like, his whole thing was like, I can't save the city. It's going to ruin time.
He saves
Capaldi
and his family.
Yeah.
And so he chose that face to remind himself that sometimes, yes, you have to break the rules.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to save people.
Which I guess I thought was awesome, by the way. I always like seeing flashbacks to anything
with
older doctors. One that I guess watched the whole way through.
Yeah.
It just adds a bit more.
Yeah,
for me.
So it was interesting to actually see that. And
I feel with that, I feel that maybe what you were saying about him wanting to change time, maybe the fact that he chose that face is like a bigger hint.
So the episode ends with the Maisie Williams character dies. So she's the
helmet basically overrode her body or something.
Yeah, it
killed her.
It drained her like a battery. So he takes this thing out of the helmet that's used to repair the soldiers, and he implants it in her, and it essentially makes her immortal.
Mm-hmm.
So she wakes up and she's alive and everything. Everyone's happy.
Yeah.
And then he gives her a second one before they leave
to give to
this to anyone. And so Clara asks, you know, why did you give her? And the doctor explains, like, you know, it's like immortality is not the greatest thing. It's like it's immortality is really just seeing everyone around you die. So it's like if she ever finds, it's like
someone that loves her or something, or like that cares about.
Yeah, to give it to give them the immortality thing. So we're greeted with them leaving, and then
that's a nice.
We see the last shot, and it's Maisie Williams' character, and it's like time progressing around her, and she goes from being happy to
just being distraught,
very sad, and so that will lead into.
And then it ends into her actually kind of like smirking,
and then to be continued.
Yeah,
and that'll lead into next week's episode, which is titled "The Woman Who Lived."
Yeah.
So. We'll see what that brings us, but we got some questions answered. We know why he has the face. So we got a lot out of this episode.
Yeah.
Surprising.
It was good.
Honestly, I'd give it a 4.
Yeah. I liked it more than the last two.
You know what? I did. Like, there are aspects I like more about that episode. There are other aspects I really like about this episode, but I'd say all around this episode is pretty solid.
Yeah.
Now, will the second episode
hold up with it?
Will it?
Yeah, or will it
ruin
it? I don't know.
We'll see. I mean, because it's a different setting and a different time.
And I'm assuming Arya, or at least I don't know if she can get older or not. Like,
we'll find out.
Any words from Travis?
We still need to. So, take you live to Travis in the field.
Mm-hmm.
Travis, what are you thinking of Doctor Who, of this current episode?
Okay, so as far as the episode of Doctor Who is concerned, I thought it was pretty awesome. I laughed a lot more than I expect. Like, it was actually a very funny episode as well. And then like the big oh crap moment of the episode was the revelation of why the 12th Doctor's face is one that we've seen on the show, and it actually referenced it showed a clip from the episode where Capaldi first showed up as a different character, and that's why he has the face, as a reminder that to break the rules, and to basically, sometimes it's to save people, it's all right. But yeah, I mean, it was a pretty solid episode. And yeah, awesome. I'd probably give it a 9. Maybe. All right. See you guys next week.
All right, thank you, Travis. So that was Travis. He's live in the field right now. Yeah. He's just in a field for some reason.
Looking for mice and all that.
Yeah, we had him on walkie-talkie, which is why it sounded kind of weird.
All right.
Travis likes to hang out in fields. I mean, who doesn't?
If he builds it, some people might come.
Yes. So there you go. Okay, you can look forward to another movie. It's either going to be something really funny or something that's going to piss off a lot of people. That's all I'm going to say. All
right.
So, yeah. So, do you want to say goodbye?
Goodbye.
No, I mean, not like that.
Oh.
In a spooky way.
Goodbye. I don't know what... I don't know.
All right, guys. Bye.
Just say on to the next, but now we know the segment.
Do people say that?
People say that all the time. I hear people say that on like
on to the next.
Yeah, look it up.
You mean on the next?
No, on to the next, and that means let's keep going.
I've never heard that.
Oh, I'll show you.
That's not right. I don't think.